So you didn't come here to work. You came here precisely not to work, precisely not to do anything in particular, not even to meditate. Because we don't really know what that means. Just, we've come together just to be together. To be together with one another and to be together with our experience, moment by moment. In openness. Being together, but without any expectations or demands. Just as we are, just as experience is, moment by moment. And you don't even have to label whatever arises. You don't have to tell yourself what's what. That's too much work. Just let experience arise and ebb. Or is it the correct way to say is ebb and flow? Just like my voice is arising and unfolding and dissolving. You don't have to do anything for that to occur. I guess what we have to do is to relax. Which I'm not sure if we can relax, but I guess we can ask this invisible openness, this that shall not be named, to help us abdicate our positions, our convictions, our ideas, even our stories. We don't have to abdicate them completely, but we can lay them down. We can hand everything over when we are gathered like this. We hand everything over to the now, to presence. Or at least we can try. We can ask. Please, will you take this and this and this? Please, will you hold this? Please, will you allow this to unfold in safety? In openness? When we ask or when we pray like that, we're not really asking for something. It's more like we're turning back towards what we know for sure in our hearts. That we know, what we know for sure is that we're already held in openness. We being the sum of our experience. Of course, we're not the sum of our experience, but sometimes it feels like that. So we have to start there. Please, will you take the tension behind my eyes? Breath, each breath, will you allow? Please, will you take the weight of my body, my hips, my legs, my shoulders, my arms, my hands, my heart? Please, will you caress my face that it may relax? My forehead, my eyelids, my cheeks, my jaw, my chin, my nose, my ears, my mouth, my lips, my teeth, my tongue. My scalp, my hair. If you ask, then you stay with the, for example, the sensation of your face, your scalp, your hair, and you watch, you witness as it's allowed to unravel. So if we ask, for things to be taken, to be taken care of by the openness. It requires a kind of letting go, a kind of surrender. Please, can you help me with the difficult layers of my experience in this moment? That's another fair prayer. And now I'm talking more of the felt difficulty, not so much the stories, the problems, at the level of the thoughts, but rather the feelings in the body, the resistance, the tension, the fear, the anxiety or sadness or whatever. And you all, each one of us, maybe some of us have such layers in this moment, such feelings or sensations. Please, may you help me with those feelings. Not to get rid of them, not to wish them away, not to manipulate them, analyze them, compare them. Please, can you help me just be with them? At some point, maybe it's almost like we've settled back in the right alignments with the openness. We don't have to pray anymore. We're back in the fold. Everything's back in the fold. Doesn't mean everything is easy or peaceful or that there isn't still ripples and feelings and all that, but it's just the orientation has been realigned. We're turned back towards return back in the correct direction. I don't know what that is, what to name that, but we know it. And maybe our body feels a bit different or is willing to feel a bit different. Just see if there's a willingness, just easy, effortless willingness to surrender the weight of the body, into the openness all around, into the earth. If there's a freedom that is catching the breath, so that the in-breath and the out-breath are back in their organic stream or bed or current, so that the in-breath can arise fresh and permeate the body, the belly, and the out-breath, like a wave that recedes completely effortlessly, or more effortlessly, perhaps. And again, the weight. Say yes to the shoulders. The shoulders want to surrender the weight. Say yes, you can. Let the shoulders sort of melt down into the arms, as if the arms were rivers and the rivers are flowing down, all the way down to the hands, and then feel your hands. Feel the tingling of your fingers, of your palms, tops of your hands. Let the hands radiate out beyond. And also your hips, your pelvis, your thighs. Say, yes, you can drop the weight. Yes, you can. And your calves and your ankles and your feet. They would like to drop into the earth. And it's not an effort, it's an outcome of aligning ourselves with the openness. There's no need to hold the weight. You can whisper that to your body, to yourself. It's sometimes a process. It's not a quick. It takes time. And then very, very subtle, you might feel a little line of energy rising from the pubic bone up the front of the body, a caressing line, caressing the belly, caressing the middle of the torso, the heart area, rising, caressing the throat, little flame of verticality. And the shoulders are dropping and the hips are dropping. And the breath is moving. And you might want to feel your head like a balloon, a helium balloon just suspended on top of the spine. See what your head wants to do without making it adopt any particular position, but think, oh, my head, you are now aligned with God, with the openness. How would you like to float? See where the chin rests. And now feel your whole body, just your simple, innocent body. Feel it as one global cloud-like sensation. Very intimately connected with whatever lies beyond it, under it, behind it, above it. And also let yourself feel, really, we can feel the field, beyond your body. Your body's like a planet. And then there's this field, this, I don't know what to call it, but it's vibrating all around the body, and it's a quality of borderlessness. And maybe we don't feel it, but we can be open to the possibility. That everything that we experience, in fact, not just the body, but everything, the sound of this voice, and the thoughts that come and go, everything is held in this borderlessness. And now gently just let the spine collapse, round the spine, the lower, the middle, and the upper back. And if you're sitting on the floor, very, very slowly, very tactile, very sensual, let the legs extend in front. If you're sitting on a chair, you might want to extend your legs a bit, very slowly as well, in front. For those sitting on the floor, as you extend your legs, feel the texture and the touch of the foot, of the leg, of the carpet, of the cushion, the temperature. Your arms just resting to the side, your back is rounded. And now just bring your back further back a little bit, just as if you were leaning with your rounded spine on a cushion of air in the back, and let your hips open. Extend your, flex your left foot a little bit, so you draw your heel further away from the hip, and then let it go. And do the same with the right foot. You flex your right foot a bit and you extend your leg as if you wanted to unglue it from the hip, and you let it go. And now slowly bring your head forward. Your back is still rounded. And when your pelvis is in line, in the correct position, slowly let the flame of energy rise up so that the spine comes to the vertical. Don't do it, rather let it happen. Breath is free. What's happening in the hips? Am I clenching the hips? Can I feel the back of my legs caressing the earth? And again, rounding the spine like a wave. Smooth. Breath is free. Feel the space in the hips. Surrender the legs even more, the thighs, the knees, the calves, the ankles, the heels. The earth is not dead, she's open. Yes, and then very slowly, without effort, empty movement, you're gonna, for those who are sitting cross-legged, bring your legs back to a cross-legged position, but very slowly. You can help yourself with your hands. Back is still rounded. And now the little line of energy from the pubic bone rising the whole torso, caressing the space in front. Surrender the body to the openness. The whole back of the body is flowing down. Now feel your fingertips touching the floor or the chair or whatever they can touch in front of your torso. Fingertips very alive. Just feel the texture of whatever is touched. What is it? Is it wool? Is it silk? Is it marble? Is it warm? Is it cold? Is it dry? Is it humid? You don't have to translate. I'm just giving these words so that your tips of your fingers are very alert and they're looking for shards of glass on the ground or on the chair. Now let your fingertips move to the sides of your body, caressing the floor slowly, very slowly. When they arrive at the hip level, pause. And drop your shoulders through your fingertips. Empty your shoulders, empty your hips. See if you can not make this movement mechanical, but rather a tactile exploration. It doesn't have to be perfect. Now your fingertips are moving towards the back of the body, slow. From the fingertips, no shoulder action. And when they arrive at the correct position, which is the position before you create a back or a set of shoulders that are going to do something. So right before that happens, let your hands settle. The pads of your fingers on the floor, your thumbs are pointing towards your torso. Feel the connection with the earth. Is it a battle? Are you pushing? Visualize that both your hands are resting on the tails of two little cats. And you don't want to be bitten by the cats. So let your fingers and penetrate. And then very slowly let the spine from the pubic bone again rise up from the front. It's a line of energy that's going to allow the torso to arch without being bitten by the cats. Without creating tension in the hips. If it's comfortable, the head can move up, the face towards the ceiling. The breath is free. Surrender the weight of the shoulders of the hips. Yes, and very slowly we come back. Don't do it, rather allow it. The hands traveling back. The head floating back, the shoulders, the hips. There's no right or wrong here, just a tactile exploration for no reason other than to welcome life as she decides to show herself. It might be in the form of pleasant or unpleasant. But the movements and the postures, we try to fill them with emptiness and effortlessness. So now feel your forearms leaving your lap, your upper arms against alongside your torso, your hands completely relax, empty your hands. Let your elbows really encourage your shoulders to drop. And now slowly from the elbows, not from the shoulders, feel the elbows moving up and pushing the elbows up towards the ears. They're moving up, moving up, moving up, moving up, moving up. No tension, moving up, cloud-like, moving up. Moving up, moving up. Stop right before the mover constellates. Yes, and breathe. You're allowed to breathe. If you don't breathe, you die. And now from the elbows again, it's moving down, smooth, moving down, smooth, smooth. Moving down, pouring the shoulders down, liquid shoulders down. Down, down, down. Nobody doing it. Down, down. Is the breath allowed? Are the hips involved? They don't need to be involved. Now the right shoulder only moving up from the elbow though. Elbow moving the shoulder up. It's pushing the shoulder up. The shoulder's completely vacant. Up, up, up. Right shoulder up. Left shoulder dropping into the left elbow. Right shoulder suspended in openness. What's happening in the right hip? Yes. Empty everything that can be empty. Now slowly switching. So it's the left elbow moving down, the left shoulder pushed by the left elbow, moving up, down, up. Don't do it. Let it happen. Moving up with the left, moving down, down with the right. Dropping the right shoulder into the right elbow more. Dropping the right elbow into the right hip. Dropping the right hip into the floor. You don't need it. Letting the left shoulder rest in open space. Breath is free. Yes. And then slowly let the left shoulder dissolve. Slow, smooth. Surrender, offer it to the great openness. Here, eat my shoulder and my hands. Let the arms rest back down. Hello, body. Hello, openness. We are marrying you to body. Body, we are marrying you to openness. You are already married, but we are renewing your vows. Hello, heart. We are renewing your vows too with openness, love, kindness. Now let's explore another movement. So slowly feel your whole torso and just trace a circle with your torso from the pelvis all the way up to the top of the head. It's one same line of movement, tracing the edge of an open bowl, slowly, smooth. So you might want to feel that there's a paintbrush extending from the top of your head to the ceiling, and feel the paintbrush, the brush part of the paintbrush on the ceiling, tracing a circle, beautiful circle. Smooth circle. And then the other way. There's lots of space in the joints, in the shoulders and the hips. There's breath, yes. And then slowly the torso comes back to alignment. Let it come back on its own. It knows where to go. Now we're doing a micro movement, so it's not the whole torso, it's just the pelvis. Just the pelvis, the sit bones, tracing a circle. If I was to look at you, I would not see a physical movement. It's very, very subtle, tracing a circle with the root of your pelvis. Slow. Make sure the breath is allowed and that it's coming from, not from a mechanical place, from a sensual place. My teacher, Eric Barre, says it's be like a prostitute warming up. Yes, and now the other way. Slowly, don't be afraid to feel the energy in the root of your pelvis. Can I empty my shoulders? Yes, and then let that stop, let it go. Let it go. Drop your legs, feel your legs are dropping into the earth. If your legs are cross-legged, they're dropping like a fan, fanning out into the earth. If your legs are on a chair, visualize your legs dropping down vertically down into the earth. In fact, everybody, visualize and feel your legs dropping down vertically, and you can shake your legs into the earth. And then bring your legs of energy back. Make sure your breath is free. Feel your breath. The in-breath, the out-breath, with the rest at the top and at the bottom. Discover your breathing. Is it tense? Is it effortful? Is it held? Is it short? Is it, you know, all sorts of possibilities? Just see what it's like for you right this moment without any judgment. What's the geography through which your breath moves? And now, visualize a favorite tree 1 meter in front of your body. And just feel your breath licking the tree, caressing the tree from the roots to the top of the tree with your in-breath. Licking the tree from the top to the roots with the out-breath. In-breath, lick the roots to the top, rest, out-breath. Caressing the top of the tree down all along to the roots. Sensual, smooth. And if you want, you can apply Ujjayi breath, if you know it, the filter in the back of the throat, making a very beautiful, even sound. Long, smooth. The pause. The in-breath, without pulling it, it rises out of nowhere. You can take the image of the tree away, just the space, the breath filling and emptying the space. No breather, just breathing. Not the breath in the body, rather the body in the breath. Now just let the breath be natural. Without elongating it. But still listening to it very intimately. the in-breath, is the belly allowed to swell with the in-breath without anything being imposed? It's non-violent breathing. Loving. Now just let your body move, the breath move. Your eyes are closed, just see what your body would like moment by moment. It knows, just in terms of movement. I'm not talking about ice cream. And when I say see what your body would like, I mean also your body of energy, your body of emotion. I mean your hands, I mean your heart. I don't know, you know, I mean whatever your body understands, let it move, be moved. And don't forget, it's moving in the openness, in God. In fact, it's God, or the openness is moving the body, the breath. But if the person that you are wants to move and express something very personal, that's still allowed in these gatherings. We are allowed to be persons, because even the person is in God, right? So let this moment be a moment of expression and freedom without any agenda. If the body wants to stand, if something a bit quick, if a quickening occurs, a rhythm, if something constellates that has a very specific shape, nobody's looking, there's no right or wrong. Doesn't have to be pretty. Doesn't have to be ugly. Doesn't have to be labeled. Make sure your hands and your, you know, your joints and your shoulders and your face, if they want, they're allowed. It can be playful. Yes, and when you're ready, just allowing the body to come back. It's such a delight. I love the moment where the body disappears back into stillness or openness when we don't do it. And so what you do is you take your stand as the openness, and you let the ripple of the movement come to a closure in you. Yes. Make sure that you allow every little nook and cranny of the body to be bathed in the openness. Even if every little nook and cranny doesn't dissolve and melt away, still they can be bathed in openness. Especially they can be bathed in openness. They need it so bad. Don't forget your head, your brain, the sensation of your brain immersed in openness. The sensation of your eyeballs. The thinker needs to be bathed in the field of openness. And don't do anything. Just abide with the openness. We'll take a 5-minute break and come back, and then we can have a conversation. Thank you.
Hi, Hilka.
Hi, thanks.
All righty. Hi, everyone. But hi again. Welcome back. And if you would like, so for newcomers, this is, we just have a short time, but you're very welcome to ask a question or to share something. And yeah, that's about all I can say. Hello. Hello, Claire. I can't say everybody's name, but anyway, feel free, and you can just unmute yourselves because it's such a small group. And there's no obligation to say anything. If we don't have awkward silences here. We only have lovely silences.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi. Thank you so much for the meditation. I have one experiential paradox that I wanted to ask you about. When you say being held in the openness, that doesn't feel like that for me, you know, that I can be held in the openness. It's rather that I feel this like outer layer of my body, as you know, the board of my body, and this extends and it gets more porous, and it's not as hard as it was when I started, you know. So I can feel a softening and more ease with it. But there's also I also experience it as an anchor, in the sense that I actually need it, because when there are moments when it dissolves too much, I feel like, and there's some spiraling going on, and I feel that, you know, the energy increases. I want to bring it down again, because I feel, this is, I can't hold it, you know? So, and then there's, you know, in the whole nervous system science that is going on, there's a lot about containment, you know, and being like having actual containers. So I wonder if you can speak to that, how I can work in that sense with this being held in the openness more. I don't know.
Well, the thing is that language is so imprecise and poetic. So in the meditations, I will say something and then I might say it's opposite, but I think I get the gist of your inquiry. And the openness that we are pointing towards here is not an openness you have to manufacture as Jenny. So when you're describing your moments where you're porous and it's expanded and there's a spiral, but then suddenly there's a need to anchor, and then maybe you feel that more a contraction or a sort of coming down, or all of this is happening in the openness that we are sort of indicating here. This, the openness in question, is holds everything. So in a way, when I say we are held in the openness, I'm it's not correct, because if at the moment where that is known, which we all might know in glimpses, there is no one then being held. There's only openness. At the moment when we know the openness, we are the openness. So when I use that language, it's almost like stepping stones, because often we feel, often in our lives, and you know, we feel isolated, we feel fragmented, we feel I am this body mind and I'm cut off, and I have to protect myself, and I have to do all sorts of things, and I even have to expand and come back to a quality of connectedness, and sometimes I have to there's a lot I have to do as a body mind. So the stepping stone of turning back towards the openness, offering to the openness, asking the openness, all those things are sort of genuine attempts when we feel this kind of suffering to reconnect, as if you were a wave in the ocean and you had lost your, you had forgotten, or you didn't know that you were actually intimately connected with the ocean. And so you're this little wave and you have to ask, you have to turn back, you have to find your way back to this obvious, actually, it's very obvious. It's amazing how we can forget. And then when we are in touch again with the quality of openness, or it might have another word for some of us, it's obvious, and we wonder how could we ever be so cut off from it. But nevertheless, we do. I'm not sure I'm helping you, Jenny.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that paradox.
No, I mean, I had in one. Yeah, I mean, there is this. I think what you're saying also goes into that direction of, it's also we that we think we have to end the separation, you know, like, or right. I perceive myself as the one that is now trying to, you know, I'm going to the meditation, I'm doing this, I'm reading the books to get rid of the separation that I'm somehow, you know, learn that I was socialized into, I don't know. And this is, I mean, it is paradoxical, right? Because in a way it is what I'm doing.
You are doing it. I mean, I just, you know what, we are all, I mean, I came tonight and I had a difficult day because I felt very much, I didn't feel like, oh, well, I'm not a person. So it's a paradox because I'm going to be teaching the non-dual thing and there's nobody there, but I was feeling quite, and I was actually looking forward to the opportunity to even though I actually told Corinne before, I said, I don't feel like teaching because I felt like I'm feeling, oh. And then as I started, I thought, oh, what a privilege, because Ellen, who was feeling anxious and for reasons, and I reorientated towards something. And so I did. It was me. I mean, it was me, but ultimately, of course, me is moved by God, or what, you know, there is no separate Ellen. There's no separate Jenny. There's no separate anything, but there is on some level, not separate, but there is an individual. There is somebody who was feeling like that and who didn't want to do this and who did come and who did do that. Blah, blah, blah. And at some point, that feeling of not separation, I don't think I knew I was not separate, but I felt contraction. I felt a holding. I felt a protecting. We all feel that. Even the most enlightened, I mean, I can't be sure, but I'm almost sure. So in those moments, there we can do something. And yes, ultimately, it's God doing it all. But don't worry. I mean, don't be too fussed about, is it Jenny or is it God? Ultimately, it's always God. But still, you're allowed to say it's Jenny.
Yeah.
Because
I think the paradox really lies on this really in the moment of something happens. I feel there's, you know, there's an actual openness happening, and then there's a rejection of that openness that feels like a necessity to ground Jenny in this world.
So I think those are ideas that you have about openness and then rejection. So because you need to, all those are possibly things that can also be seen for what they are. They're probably strategies of some sort. Mm. We are spoon-fed a lot of ideas about having to be grounded and having to be sent, and then, you know, this idea of allowing the body mind to really unravel in openness can trigger a thought, this is not safe, I'm gonna lose myself, I'm gonna fragment, I'm all sorts of ideas. So in the meditation, when you feel the dilatation and then the sort of coming back, and then the thought comes, I need to come back because I need to ground Jenny. Just see that. You don't have to change. You don't have to do anything. Just experience that display of expansion, contraction, thought. And you don't have to buy any of that. But you, at least in the context of the meditation, you can postpone those beliefs if you're willing to. You don't have to, but you can if you're willing to, and just feel more than follow the thoughts and beliefs at the level of mind. Feel the movement of expansion, feel the of grounding. Maybe just don't pay too much attention to the thoughts, but really feel. Or if the thoughts are what seem to trigger the then yeah, notice the thought and behind that there's fear.
Mm.
So at some point, hopefully you can be with fear, just fear. And again, no agenda with fear, no attempt at making fear disappear. I mean, fear, tasting fear. Fear has a movement, fear has a temperature, fear has a color, fear has a movement, fear has a... And in the now, it's tasting fear. And I guess the invitation is to really trust that there's plenty of room for fear. There's infinite space for fear. Because often we say, well, I can't, you know, this feeling is too big and I need to contain it. I need to... there's a sort of a responsibility as a body mind that I have to. So a teacher of mine, he gives this example of bungee jumpers. And he says, so imagine one bungee jumper who's really decided he's going to do it. And he's doing it in full awareness. So he's tying the thing, you know, on his foot, and he's encouraged to jump, and he jumps, and he feels the adrenaline and the intense wave of fear. But because he bought it, he completely surrenders to it, and then he comes back, and then he's discovered something about fear. He's discovered that it's a huge wave, and that he didn't die. He was okay. And so next time he feels fear in his everyday life, possibly there'll be a blueprint for allowing. Whereas this, imagine another bungee jumper who doesn't even know he's going to bungee jump, and somebody's tying the thing and pushing him. And when fear comes, he contracts.
Mm.
So it's not the fear, it's the fear of the fear. Mm. And so here in the yoga, we're trying to create a sort of atmosphere, a tactile atmosphere where we, that thing is not encouraged. So we do very slow movements. And as soon as the doer comes in, okay, we move back a bit. Or if a feeling comes where we really try to, well, to taste it, to be with it on a tactile level. And so if in your case, the thing comes back, well, we just really taste that. And then maybe because we've tasted it fully, oh, another layer, a deeper layer of fear. And then more and more subtle, the listening. Maybe that helps a bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I think in just one last sentence that really went to the point. I think that what's happening in more general, I think that also is triggered through the practice, that I feel more of these emotions, you know, that there's like as if they're becoming clearer, like I can feel them more, see them more, also distance myself more from them. But that's also intense, because first of all, recognizing that they're there also calls another level of emotions, you know, like realizing realizing the judgment, realizing the rejection, the hatred, I don't know, all these like negative emotions.
It's natural, that journey, especially if we're not, if it's sort of new, or if, you know, it's a reconnecting with the body, with the realm of feelings. And the more we do that, the more we live more with a tactile sense, the more, it continues to be intensity. We live with intensity, but intensity is not, it's more that it's alive. And but there's less defensiveness against these layers. To begin with, we're not sure it's safe. We're not sure it's okay. It's raw. It's raw. It's out of control. It's out of the control of the mind. So all of that at first can be a real discovery and a process. It can be very exciting, but we have questions, and you're it's good that you're asking. And
yeah, thank you.
Nice to see you, Jenny.
Nice to see you.
It's quite radical what we do here, I think, on some level. And it's not, maybe not to think we have to do it perfectly. It's quite natural that there would be somebody here that constellates again, that goes for safety. And because it seems to be a natural response, you know, it's vulnerable. The body mind is vulnerable. But we can discover those habits. We can taste them. We don't have to get rid of them. But we can become aware of them and really, and then take the risk of feeling the fear, tasting the fear, tasting the grief, tasting the whatever it is, even just tasting the shoulder that coalesces when we do a movement, tasting it. Who needs a shoulder? It's, you know, who needs a dense, tasting all the density and the articulation, so that it has a potent, an effect, that the fact of really feeling things. Yes, Hilka.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for coming and saying that you felt contracted as well. I was just triggered prior to this meeting and felt like a shame burning in my heart, and after being a self-righteous and just coming here, the openness is so warm and being held. And then the simple simple exploration of just the sitting bones, warming as a prostitute woman, warming up. Yeah, like the heart was yeah, the awakening of that support somehow also. And now this vibration, like the whole body is so grateful for always in these meetings.
Well, maybe so a poem. When will a poem come? Helga writes really beautiful poems, as others, I know. I know, like, others do too. I won't say any names. One of them starts with a C, and she always reads other people's poems. But,
yeah, we want to hear C.
No, we won't name her. But Hilka, by the way, for some of us, from some of you know, there's a Facebook page for this group called Meeting in the Shrine, and some you're very welcome to post on it. And Hilka has posted some poems there.
Yeah, and I'm writing, but I've been guiding yoga meditations.
Oh, good. The
Rubich's WhatsApp group. And those are kind of my poetry.
Well, I bet they are. Oh, that's lovely. Well, you could.
But I can really hear it's like the insecurity to put yourself there and giving your voice and feeling not mature enough and feeling your own emotions at the same time, but there is really something which is holding and coming through and learning to trust that.
Yeah, it's a process.
And art.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Wonderful to hear about that, Hilka.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The group also.
I think it's probably almost time for Corinne's poem, which is another tradition here for the newcomers. So, Coco, are you ready? Okay.
That's perfect, really. And Tilka, your poems are beautiful. just being here, it is such a beautiful prayer. To ask the openness, to abdicate, to relinquish our position, you know, whatever that is, and just to relinquish it to the openness. And we are open and held at the same time by God, or you know, the St. Francis prayer came to mind, how it says, you know, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. And I was feeling like, you know, show yourself to me, show me how I am an instrument of your peace, or your love, or your wisdom, you know, you know, an instrument, there's the outer layer that is solid, but in order for music to come forth, there is only the openness through which, you know, the vibration comes, or the breath comes, or the openness, you know, is what allows the music. And anyway, I felt like that is, you know, that yes, we are the instrument. And what comes through is God, and you know, just to see how that is, and just to show me, and just that asking, and I love it so much, and just thank you for coming, even though you didn't, you know, necessarily feel like it, and I, you know, thank God for allowing me to come, even though I didn't feel like it. I didn't think there was any way I could possibly show up. And this morning I was going to write you and say, you know, I don't think I can come. And I couldn't be more grateful. And, you know, I was just looking through a notebook and there's this poem that I wrote after a meeting. And I know I shared it with you before, but I don't think I've ever brought it here in any way. I don't remember when I wrote it, but it was after one of these meetings. And it's called In the Shrine. This gathering is made of love. Gently we are held here. We are known. Ancient voices whisper within our hearts, songs of innocence, remembrances of home. Sweet unbound melodies, clear open light, the silken embrace of a thousand petaled yes.
Oh, that's lovely, Coco.
But it was the perfect thing. And well, just there's a little bit of time. Is there just one more? This is the one. Marie Howe, it's called Singularity, after Stephen Hawking. You sometimes want to wake up to the singularity we once were. So compact, nobody needed a bed or food or money. Nobody hiding in the school bathroom or home alone, pulling open the drawer where the pills are kept. For every atom belonging to me, as good as belongs to you. Remember, there was no nature, no them, no tests to determine if the elephant grieves her calf or if the coral reef feels pain. Trashed oceans don't speak English or Farsi or French. Would that we could wake up to what we were when we were ocean, and before that, to when sky was earth, and animal was energy, and rock was liquid, and stars were space, and space was not at all, nothing. Before we came to believe humans were so important, before this awful loneliness. Can molecules recall it, what once was? Before anything happened, no I, no we, no one, no was, no verb, no noun, only a tiny, tiny dot brimming with is, all, everything, home.
Thank you, Coco. Thank you, everyone, very much for coming. Feel free to unmute and say hi, bye.
Thanks, Anna.
Oh, thanks, bye. Thank you.
Thank you. It was wonderful.
See you next week if you feel like it, or if you don't feel like it.
Thanks, Coco.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you.
Go gently. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Coco.
Ciao. Where are we?